So thank you for coming to this session. I know we're it's almost lunchtime, and we'll try to get through this. Now, how are we with time? Are we? Sure. Okay. Can you let me know? I hail from New York, and in New York, we're addressing the challenges of health reform through our Medicaid redesign efforts. By and large, we're largely focused on two models of redesigning our Medicaid system in New York, and those are patient-centered medical homes and health homes. There's a little difference between the two models, where the health home is primarily focused on high utilizers and very complex patients, while it's a collaboration of many organizations, while a PCMH, a patient-centered medical home, is an address. It's a place where you go, and the PCMH is supposed to give you provide all of your healthcare needs. So those are the two big models that we're implementing in New York. We're not quite at affordable care or coordinated care organizations yet. Our governor has chosen health homes really as the big model in New York. There are standards that an organization has to meet to become a PCMH, and there are three levels, as you achieve these standards, you get a more enhanced payment per person per month payment. So it is to the benefit of the organizations financially to become PCMHs, and in fact to become level three PCMHs, because that's the most enhanced payment scheme that they can receive. So what I'm going to try to present to you very quickly and very briefly is a story of an organization that has become a level three PCMH in New York, in the Bronx, in the South Bronx, and has been very successful and has completely and fully integrated CHWs into their operation. We've been working with this organization for 5 years now, and have helped them to build the institutional and structural supports that they need to be successful. And it's a beautiful success story. I will tell you that I wrote a report after this whole in-depth case study. We were involved at the very beginning, and this organization's leadership consulted with us, with the CHW Network of New York City, which is a professional association of CHWs. They consulted with us about their plans and their strategies to integrate CHWs. So CHWs were involved in the design and implementation of this entire hospital system program. It's pretty astonishing. So anyway, that's the story I want to tell you. I don't make any money here. So the medical director of this particular, this is the story of a Department of Family Medicine at a major hospital in the South Bronx. For those of you who don't know the South Bronx is a very, very depressed, marginalized community, huge poverty rates, very little employment and economic opportunity, enormous amount of public housing. It's just, the South Bronx has been depressed. I mean, Carter, you know, President Carter went there and dug up a shovel when they were building. This is a long history of really oppression in this community. So the medical director of this particular facility, the medical director of the Department of Family Planning, the Department of Family Practice at the hospital, so it's just a department. He was really frustrated with years and years and years of just trying everything he could imagine and just not being able to impact the health of the community. And he was really a very socially conscious gentleman, and this really bothered him. He tried everything. He tried sending the physicians to trainings and communication, and he brought in communication experts. He had facilitated communicators present at the patient-doctor interaction to try to improve. This guy tried everything. And he was really, really frustrated in that people weren't getting any better. In fact, people were getting worse. In particular, the rates of diabetes were just incredible. So he was really looking for... He was primed for innovation. And really so frustrated and desperate that he was almost willing to try anything. One of the other physicians on his staff came from a history of working in Haiti. And so for many years, and this guy, again, another very socially conscious physician, he spent half of his life providing care. And then he spent the other half of every year just donating his time in Haiti and money, actually, you know, building little village healthcare facilities and staffing it. He was like the only physician there. So, it was a weird combination of ethic. And passion amongst these two gentlemen, but Paul brought his experience from Haiti to Doug, who was the medical director at the Department of Family Practice, and together they came to us to the CHW Association for guidance on how to implement this. The other big thing that he had tried was nurses. You'll see a lot of nurses. I'm not bashing nurses. That's not my purpose. And I'm really reporting on the experience of this particular organization. It's almost traditional that, like, we turn to nurses to solve the universe of problems in a medical setting. And the poor nurses, you know, they got to do nursing. You know, he had turned to the nursing department, and he had really, he was finding that physicians and nurses really, their time was really taken up by their responsibilities. I mean, these folks have 7 minutes to figure out what's wrong with you and develop a strategy and explain and do your electronic record. So you know, it was almost unreasonable to ask them to do more. It wasn't their expertise. They have a technical medical training that we need. Anyway. He was very frustrated with all of this, and the people who were already in the clinical staff really had difficulty with people who were presenting with things that were not clinical. So, you know, people would show up. There's a lot of things presenting themselves in a medical setting that are not medical problems, but are presenting that way. A lot of the stressors, a lot of the like unemployment, a lack of educational opportunity, a lot of the social determinants of health are showing up in the doctor's office, but there's really no prescription for that. There's no, you know, there's no medical strategy for that. And so these clinical staff were having trouble dealing with that because they, you know, they were more comfortable in this organization. And so he turned to CHWs. The other thing was that, you know, the Affordable Care Act really mandates peer support and community, the provision of community resources. And again, you know, he was finding in his staff that nurses tended not to be from the community or have shared life experiences with the people that they were serving. And they were really not able to empathize or to really understand the way a CHW could. And lastly, you know, he was a medical director, so he had budgets to deal with. And he was finding that the care coordination model with nurses was just too costly. He just couldn't afford it. So the way he went about integrating CHWs was one that he really had to engage the leadership at his hospital. Again, he was a medical director and he was the chairman of the department. So, you know, he reported up to the hospital executives. And he did that. People were originally disinterested, his bosses. You know, it was a grant. You got a grant, whoopee. You know, go do your grant. But he was really very insistent, and he reported all the time. He reported, he produced a press release when he got the grant. He produced another press. He was always really sending information up to his bosses to engage their interest because they really were not interested at first. I got to say that I'll get back to this, but these two gentlemen were really champions. And that's one of the key elements that we found to the success of this program. Having an unwavering and totally committed champion like this, who has the power, you know, he was a medical director, so he had the power, really turned out to be critical to the success of this particular program. And his enthusiasm and persistence really paid off. Not only was he very energetic and excited about the whole thing, and you know, that kind of stuff is infectious, But he was also, he was kind of a no-nonsense kind of guy. You know, and you didn't really want to cross him. So he'll make you cry if he needs to. he was able to enforce a lot of stuff when challenges came up. The other thing that he did a lot of was, because he was at that level, he shared his successes at other organizations, at other institutions that he was present at. And that actually got back to the hospital executives. And let me tell you, we found in this study, hospital executives really, really like it when their colleagues from other places say, give them positive feedback. Oh, I heard you got a CHW. You know, executives really, really like that. And it kind of changed their apathy about the program because they heard executives from other hospitals commenting about them. The other big thing that Doug was able to report is that he instantly started collecting as much data as he could. So the stuff that executives like to hear, like ED and hospitalization rates, clearly, as soon as he had that stuff, he would send it up. And he started collecting that. So 2 months into the program, he was already sending up numbers that he got from the ED and the hospitalization rates. So they improved the metrics. And lastly, something that he did was to engage the payers at his organization, the managed care organizations in particular, because they were really standing to profit significantly from the involvement of CHWs. In particular, the cost savings that I mentioned, but also in enhancing the income of the managed care organizations through these QAR scores that you see on the last line there. I'm sorry, I try not to use acronyms. But those are quality assurance reporting requirements. Managed care organizations actually have to report customer satisfaction to Medicaid, and then Medicaid, like if you have Medicaid and you don't pick a plan, Medicaid will assign you to a plan, a managed care plan. Well, the way Medicaid does that is based on the QAR scores. So the higher your QAR scores, the more free enrollees you get if you're a managed care organization. And that's big bucks. That's because managed care plans spend a huge amount of money marketing and trying to sign people up. And these are free enrollees. So this is a big deal for managed care organizations. And the CHWs were also doing early case finding. So, you know, they would find somebody who was pregnant in the earlier part of their pregnancy and get them in. They would find chronic illnesses and get them to specialty care before it became a problem. So that was lucrative. Oh, ooh. Okay. Some of the institutional issues that he had to face were, number one, so human resources is a challenge. And if you have a union at your, this place had a very rigid bureaucratic human resource department who was not actually willing to accept the CHW title. So human resources were insisting that they use existing titles at the hospital to hire CHWs. Doug refused to do that. I mean, this guy's no joke. You know, he said no. So what he did was originally was he hired the CHWs as consultants so that he could call them CHWs, and then, you know, negotiated with human resources, which took a little while. The other big thing is a union. If you have a union, and they did, a powerful union, I know this is kind of preaching to the choir, but not just anybody can be a CHW. It's not just like sort of, oh, do you have an associate degree? Come on, be a CHW. There are personal qualities and attributes that need to be considered, and the union doesn't really let you do that. Unions have lists, and they have people, and you got to go through the. It's very bureaucratic, and so that was a big issue that they had to deal with. Engaging the union and helping the union understand that this is not just for anybody, and he had to suffer some scars, experiential scars, to do that. So that's the issue of recruitment. Training, he did hire us to come in and do training, and of course, our training is popular education and adult learning based. It's an experiential process. It is not Diabetes 101. It's really helping people develop the skills and competencies that they need to do the scope of work that describes the CHW practice. And really designed to help people develop their critical thinking skills and abilities. You heard a lot of the content from others here, so I won't repeat them, but we really do a lot of focus on communication, in particular nonviolent, non-confrontational, negotiations-based communication. We do a lot of stuff on adult learning principles and approaches. We do a lot of humanistic psychology stuff, Maslow's needs, hierarchy, that kind of stuff, and strength-based approaches. A lot of behavior change and formal counseling. We do a lot of stuff around professional conduct and behavior. So it's really power. We discuss power a lot. So I want to tell you really quickly, because I'm out of time. Having a CHW champion was really important. Having a CHW career path, this guy hired a CHW to be the CHW supervisor. He hired a CHW to be the CHW program manager. And he had all those people report directly to him because he wanted that CHW perspective to get to him and not be interfered with or changed by any other clinical staff members. And that turned out to be really critical. Feedback from patients, from like members about their CHWs was also very powerful and helped him out. Patients would actually go to like hospital administration and say like, Maria saved my aunt's life, and like, I give Maria a raise. I insist. I mean, patients were going to hospital administration, like really advocating for their CHWs. I just want to say this is a huge part of what happened. This is also a teaching hospital, so there are 3 years of residency at this hospital, and there are medical students from the medical school that also participate in. It's a teaching hospital. We did exit interviews with the residents in their first year that the CHWs were there, and every year after that for 4 years. So we have exit interviews from people who started their residency when the CHW program started, and they did not like the CHWs, let me tell you. There was a lot of resistance and fear and tension. Because, residents, first-year residents, they're like at the bottom of the totem pole, right? And then you bring in these high school graduates and put them above, there was problems. Doug didn't allow it, but there were issues. When we interviewed those same residents in their third year, they loved their CHW. They would freak out if their CHW wasn't there today. They would literally, where's my CHW? Get me another CHW. I can't. They were mad. Doug instituted this whole team care approach. So every patient has a team assigned to them. And that team is the attending, a third-year, second-year, first-year resident, a nurse, a social worker, and a CHW. That's the team. The CHW is the head of the team. Yeah, the CHWs participate in case reviews. They bring cases to team meetings to help. They do grand rounds. They do trainings for the doctors. They take the doctors on home visits. People come to this hospital now, and they want to know. They make appointments with their CHW. They don't even worry about the provider anymore. The CHW will take care of that. They want to see their CHW first. There has been a complete cultural change in this organization, and part of it is the result of the championship, but part of it is also the fact that you have CHWs supervising CHWs, you have CHWs managing programs, you have a CHW director. Of the program, and that has led to all of this success. We publish this stuff. I guess you'll be able to download this and access it. And thank you. This is our group here.